Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur everybody.
Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Radha Madhava Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jai Gopi Janava Girivar Jai Gopi Janava Girivar गोपी जनवा गिरी भर गिरीवर सौर नंदन ध्वज धन रंजनाय सौर नंदन ध्वज धन रंजनाय जमुन धीरा है भाग
Om Vishnupad Paramahans Parariva Jakacharya Astotara Satya Sri Sriman His Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Raj Granta Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Sri Sri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai Sri Sri Kishore Kishori Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, glories to Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this is Canto 5, chapter number 19. Chapter is entitled The Island of Jambudweep, and this is text number 4. Oh, okay, we'll do 4 and then I'll read 3 and 4 together.
Yatta visuda nubhavat matra.
No, that's not going to work.
Yatta visuda nubhavat matram ekam. Swatejasa dvasta guna vyavastam. Pratyak prasantam suni yapalambanam. Yadnama rupam niharam prapadye. Yatad visudanubhava matramikam. Svatejasa dvasta guna vyavastam. Pratyak prasantam sudiyo palambanam. Yanam rupam niharam prapadye. Yatad visuda nubhava matramikam. Svatejasa dvasta guna vyavastam. Pratyak prashantam suhiyo palambanam. Yanam rupam niharam prabhadye.
Thank you. ladies. Yet, which, that, to the Supreme Truth, Visuddha, transcendentally pure, without contamination by material nature, Anubhava, experience, Matram, that Satchit Ananda transcendental body, Ekam, the one, Swatejasa, by his own spiritual potency, Dvasta, vanquished, Guna Vyavastam, the influence of the modes of material nature, Pratyak, transcendental, not to be seen with material eyes, Prashantam, undisturbed by material agitation, Sudhiya, by Krishna consciousness, or purified consciousness, uncontaminated by material desires, fruit of activities, and speculative philosophy. Upalambanam, who can be achieved? He, indeed, anamarupam, without a material name or form. Niraham, without a material ego. Prapadye, let me offer my respectful obeisances. So I'll read verse number 3 first. And then this one. Let me please your lordship by chanting the Bij Mantra Omkara. I wish to offer my respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, who is the best among the highly elevated personalities. Your lordship is the reservoir of all good qualities of Aryans, people who are advanced. Your character and behavior are always consistent, and you always control your senses and mind. Acting just like an ordinary human being, you exhibit exemplary character to teach others how to behave. There is a touchstone that can be used to examine the quality of gold, but you are like a touchstone that can verify all good qualities. You are worshipped by brahmanas. You are the foremost of all devotees. You, the Supreme Person, the King of the Kings, and therefore I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So let's see. Sukadeva Goswami is speaking. So that was a prayer. Verse number 4. The Lord, whose pure form, Satchitananda Vigraha, is uncontaminated by the modes of material nature, can be perceived by pure consciousness. In the Vedanta, he is described as being one without a second. Because of his spiritual potency, he is untouched by the contamination of material nature, and because he is not subject to material vision. He is known as transcendental. He has no material activities, nor has he material form or name. Only in pure consciousness, Krishna consciousness, can one perceive the transcendental form of the Lord. Let us be firmly fixed at the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra, and let us offer our respectful obeisances unto those transcendental lotus feet. Purport. The purport is very long, so please listen up. This will be the major part of the class, just hearing the purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, appears in various expansions, as stated in the Brahma Samhita 5.39. Ramati Murti Shukalani Amena Tishtan Nanavatara Makaro Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Paramam Pamam Yo Govindam Hari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead Govinda, who is always situated in various incarnations like Rama, Nrisinga, and many of the sub-incarnations as well. But who is the original Personality of Godhead, known as Krishna, and who incarnates personally also? Krishna, who is Vishnu Tattva, has expanded himself into many Vishnu forms, of which Lord Ramachandra is one. We know that the Vishnu Tattva is carried by the transcendental bird Garuda, and is equipped with different types of weapons in four hands. Therefore, we may doubt whether Lord Ramachandra could be in the same category, since he is carried by Hanuman, not Garuda, and he neither has four hands nor the Shankha, Chakra, Gada, and Padma. Consequently, this verse clarifies that Ramachandra is as good as Krishna. Ramadi Murtishu Kala. Although Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ramachandra is non-different from him. Ramachandra is unaffected by the modes of material nature, and therefore he is Prashanta, never disturbed by those modes. Unless one is saturated with love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot appreciate the transcendental value of Lord Ramachandra. One cannot see him with material eyes. Because demons like Ravana have no spiritual vision, they consider Lord Ramachandra an ordinary Kshatriya king. Ravana attempted to kidnap Lord Ramachandra's eternal consort, Sitadeva. Actually, however, Ravana could not carry off Sitadeva in her original form. As soon as she was touched by Ravana's hands, she gave him a material form, but she maintained her original form beyond his vision. Therefore, in this verse, the words Pratyak Prishantam indicates that Lord Ramachandra and his potency, the goddess Sita, keep themselves aloof from the influence of material energy. In the Upanishads, it is said, Yam evasa dvinuta tena labdhya. The Supreme Lord, Paramatma, the Personality of Godhead, can be seen or perceived only by persons who are saturated with devotional service. As stated in the Brahma Samhita 5.38, Premanjanar Pracharitam Bhakti Vilochanena Santasadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti Yam Shama Sundaram Achinta Guruna Sarupam Govindam Hari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who is always seen by the devotees whose eyes are anointed with the pulp of love. He is seen in his eternal form of Shamsundar, situated within the heart of a devotee. Similarly, in the Chandogya Upanishads, it is said, Etas Tisro Devata Anena Jivena. In this verse of the Chandogya Upanishads, the word anena is used to distinguish the Atma and Paramatma as two separate identities. The word Tishro Devata indicates that the body of the living entity is made of three material elements, fire, earth, water. Although the Paramatma enters the heart of the Jivatma, who is influenced and designated by a material body, the Paramatma has nothing to do with the Jivatma's body. Because the Paramatma has no material connections, he is described here as anama rupa niraha. The Paramatma has no material identity, whereas the jiva does, jivatma does. The jivatma may introduce himself as an Indian, American, German, and so on. But the Paramatma has no such material designations, and therefore he has no material name. The jivatma is different from his name, but the Paramatma is not. His name and he himself are one and the same. This is the meaning of niharam, which means without material designations. This word cannot possibly be twisted to mean that the Paramatma has no ahankara, no I-ness, or any identity. He has his transcendental identity as the Supreme. This is the explanation by Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī. According to another interpretation given by Viśvanātha Cakravarti Thakura, niharam means nirnischaneya aham. Niharam does not mean that the Supreme Lord has no identity. Rather, the stress given by the word aham proves strongly that he does not have personal identity, because nir not only means negative, but also means strong ascertainment. Om agyan timidandasya gina jana salakaya chaksu unmilitam yena tasmai sri gurave namaha sri chaitanya manobhistam staptitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadam mayam dadati svam padantikam. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaudha Bhakta Vrindam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this section here, along with the purport, is describing the transcendental nature of the Lord. The word transcends means to rise above. But rise above what? Rise above the material energy, or the three modes of material energy which make up the material energy. Therefore, although the Lord has form, qualities, names, activities, identities, and various aspects of his own personality, none of it has to do with anything connected to the material energy. So when he comes in the material energy, he's not in the material energy. Avajanti mam mudha manushim tanamasvatam parambhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. Krishna speaks a very interesting and very direct verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Nice chapter. He says, fools deride me when I come in my transcendental nature. They do not know my fools deride me when I come in my what was that word? Human form. They do not know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all that being. So we might try to give a little understanding through a material example. The governor goes into the prison house, and he may go throughout all areas of the prison. He may even, go into the cells and talk to the inmates there. And he may even stay for some time. But he has nothing to do with the prison. He's not affected by the prison. He's not one of the inmates. Nor is he, inclined to anything of the activities of the prison other than the business of maybe the administration of the prison or some of the concerns of the inmate, that's all. He's not touched by the effects. So when Krishna, Ram, they come to this material world, it's natural for conditioned souls to think them to be one of the conditioned souls. And therefore, those types of visions put a type of identity onto the Lord which is material. Just like you see. And the Lord doesn't really try to convince such persons? The Lord is not out to convince anybody. He is Himself. And He performs His activities for His own transcendental pleasure and for the benefit of the conditioned souls. He leaves the convincing to do to the spiritual teachers. That's their job, to convince others about. But He doesn't come and say, well, you know, you should try to understand me like this, 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 this. And then He argues about His position. No, He's not like that. That's not His program. Either you get it or you don't get it. And if you don't get it, go get it from who has it. In other words, they have to learn from those who know. So when, just like you see, Lord Nityananda, He's very inclined to give mercy to very fallen souls. And in trying to give mercy, sometimes He's attacked physically. And we hear that when He is, He sometimes runs away. He also gets hit with a pot and blood comes out. So you might think, well, how's a spiritual body going to bleed? That would be a practical question. So the Lord's form, although it looks and may even act in the same way as any of us in the material world, it's not. Therefore, how do you understand the difference? And as it says here, and Prabhupada mentions it at least two to three times, unless you're Krishna conscious, you can't perceive the transcendental nature of the Lord. Purity can only be understood by purity. So our business is to purify our consciousness. And as we purify our consciousness, Krishna reveals Himself in different aspects of Himself. We start with what? The name. The name of Krishna is Krishna. So the same personality who appears as Krishna in His transcendental form has a name which is non-different than Himself. So that means when one comes in contact with the name, one is coming in contact with the full aspect of the Lord. But because the purity may not be there in the chanter's heart and activities, it's not perceived like that. It's perceived as something less than what it actually is. So the perception is on the level of the what we say, the chanter or the devotee's level of consciousness and devotion. But there's much more. Prabhupada was standing in front of the deities and taking darshan for quite a long time. And someone else, very intelligent man, started to speak with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada turned to him and said, actually, if you could see, Radha and Krishna are having their pastimes right now, right in front of us. But you can't see that because our eyes are not premanjarita bhakti vilochanena santasa daiva ridayesham vilokayanti yam shamar sundra chinta guna sarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. So this verse indicates what is the qualification to see the Lord. It's love. We can serve the Lord in any capacity of our existence, but the Lord reveals Himself according to the level of devotional service on the platform of love. The more the love is there, the more Krishna reveals Himself more and more through the practice of one's devotional service. So, therefore, one has to purify oneself from the contamination of the material energy. As one purifies it, Krishna reveals Himself more and more. Therefore, Prabhupada used to say, everyone practically in the material world has some conception or understanding or half-baked idea of what God is. Where you have 50 people, you have 50 different explanations of what God is. But God is only one way. But He reveals Himself to those who are qualified like that. Just like He says in the Bhagavad Gita, Samoham sabhabhuteshu nadvaita, what is that verse? Huh? name dvaisastinapriya. So he says, everyone is getting equal amount of mercy. When the sun come out, the sun shines everywhere. Even the thieves get the benefit of the sun. Everyone gets the sun's benefit because the sun doesn't discriminate. It comes out and everyone takes their... But in the same way, you know, that sun may be perceived in different ways by different persons and how they relate to the sun. So one who relates to Krishna in devotional service, and Krishna reveals himself more and more in that way. So that's the key to understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And each of the transcendental forms of the Lord are all of the same spiritual nature. Just like here, there's a little discussion. Some people think that Ram and Krishna are actually different. But this verse, Ramadi Murtishudha Kala Niyamena Tishtam Na Na Vatara Akaro Bhuvaneshu Kinchu Krishna Swayam Samavabhat Paraman Pamam Yo Govindamari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Prabhupada would use a description or the example. When you have a candle, you may take that candle and light other candles. So all the different candles that are lit are all of the same. But there's the original candle who is the source of all the light of the other candles. So similarly, Ishwara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarna Karam. This verse is really the pinnacle of understanding the nature of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Krishna is the source of everything. But although being the source of everything, he expands himself within himself in different manifestations of himself for his own transcendental pleasure and pastimes and for the benefit of the conditioned souls in this world. So God is one, but he appears as many like that. So some of us like Ram, some of us like Nisringadev. They say those who have an angry nature, they're very attracted to Nisringadev. But there are others who are also attracted to Nisringadev who are not of that nature. It just happens to be, those who have that tendency, they're more attracted to Nisringadev. That's all. Ram, just like if you were to do a survey just to see where the personality of Godhead's form is the most popular, you'll find that Ram is very much loved, more than Krishna. Mm-hmm. Because Ram is more easily available. He appears as two hands. He acts like an ordinary person. He follows morality, civility, righteousness. He has all exemplary good qualities. He keeps his word. He's ideal. He's ideal in character. But Krishna, Krishna says something and he does something different. He carries a cane that's crooked. Just to let you know that you can't trust me. He does what he wants. And people don't like that. They want something they can just figure out and put in a box. But Krishna, you can't do that with Krishna. Krishna is always himself, and he acts according to his transcendental nature. So if he wants to dance with 16,108 ladies and marry each one of them, it's fine. And if you don't like it, too bad. That's Krishna. And then people say, well, how can God do that? Well, if you practice devotional service and purify your heart, you'll understand it. But if you don't, you'll continue to be confused, bewildered, and find fault. Because Krishna is not out to make popularity contests. He's who he is. And therefore, it's very difficult to approach Krishna and very difficult to worship Krishna. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful that he is actually Krishna himself in the manifestation of his own love for himself as Radharani's bhava, love. And therefore, he's teaching how to approach himself through the ideal devotee. So if we study carefully the life of Lord Chaitanya and follow his principles very, very strictly, especially two principles, and that is to chant the holy names of the Lord and to serve the Vaishnavas. These are the two main principles of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching. He adds a third one, to preach, that's the third one, called Jivadoya. But the two main ones is chant Hare Krishna and serve Vaishnavas. And then through that process, you can enter into the mood of Radha and Krishna worship. Krishna will become easier and easier to understand through the mercy of Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu has given something that has never been given before. Or never been given before since he last appeared, which was 8,320,000,000 years ago. To get to the level of Radha and Krishna worship has been closed for all the yugas except Kali Yuga when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes. And he only comes once in 1,000 Kali Yugas. So we might say we are very fortunate to have the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, if we embrace Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda as our life and soul, everything we want to know about Radha and Krishna will be gradually revealed through Mahaprabhu's mercy and through our own practice of devotional service. He's very kind and very merciful like that. But very few people want Krishna, or very few people understand how to approach Krishna, especially in this age. And therefore, Ram is very popular. And that's nice. Ram is Krishna also. And Ram is wonderful. Ram is very amazing. And the life of Ram is being read in, throughout the world in various cultures and various traditions like that. So whether one is a devotee of Ram or a devotee of Krishna or a devotee of Nrisingadev, it falls into the category of pure devotional service. One has to have the level of pure devotional service. That purity is understood slightly different according to the nature of the absolute principle. In the realm of Ram and all the other incarnations, you approach the Lord with awe and reverence. But Krishna is not worshipped in awe and reverence. He's worshipped in loving transcendental exchanges as a friend, as a lover, as a parent, like that. That's how Krishna is worshipped. But we can't approach Krishna that way, because if we try to approach Krishna that way without going through the mood of awe and reverence, we'll become what is called sahaja. Sahaja means one who takes things cheaply. There's a class of transcendentalists, we give them a little credit, called sahajiyas. And sahajiyas are those who simply think, you know, by exhibiting ecstatic symptoms and acting like the gopis act, they are devotees of Krishna. But it's all pretense and it's all imitation. It's just some show. So that kind of worship is not worship at all. So to get to the level of transcendental loving relationship with Krishna, one has to approach the Supreme through the mood of awe and reverence. But as awe and reverence develops, it comes to a higher stage of understanding. And then Krishna, within the heart, by the mercy of one's spiritual master, reveals one's relationship with Krishna in the different rasas like that. Then one may internally start to practice that mood of loving devotion to the Lord within one's heart. But externally, one exhibits themselves as a neophyte. in the sense that they follow all the rules and regulations, they worship in a mood of awe and reverence, but in their heart they're developing the loving relationship with the Lord like that. So this is, I'm going a little bit beyond what this class is meant to be going, because I think it's interesting to understand the nature of worshiping Krishna and worshiping any of the other manifestations of the incarnations of the Lord. There's a complete distinction in the Krishna category, where Krishna is only worshipped in what we say a mood of sweetness like that. And that's available through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. If we carefully study Lord Chaitanya's life and teachings, we will get an understanding of that mood of bhakti like that. And as we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the fast track for purifying our heart like that. But unless we couple that chanting with service to the Vaishnavas, and Vaishnav Seva means to actively adopt that mood. It's not like, well, yeah, I'm serving Vaishnavas. No. One has to actually adopt that mood of Vaishnav Seva. In other words, one has to be enthusiastic to take advantage of the opportunity of the association of Vaishnavas to serve Vaishnavas. And when one does that, then one's chanting will increase nicely. Because these two things are very much dependent on each other. Because the chanting of the holy name is the chanting of Krishna's name. But when Krishna sees that you're serving his devotees so nicely, he reveals himself through his name more and more like that. So this goes beyond the actual practice of chanting. It goes into the element of the principle of chanting. That chanting really means to serve Krishna by serving Krishna's devotees like that. So as we purify our heart through the chanting, then the mood of Krishna becomes more and more available. And that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I mean, what we've been given is the highest transcendental realm of spiritual knowledge. It's not about, you know, it's not about making an arrangement for material happiness. It's simply about purifying the heart and developing pure love for God. And that's the goal of this Krishna consciousness movement. And so the more we hear about, glorify, and serve the manifestations of the Lord in its various incarnations, the more the heart becomes purified. And more the transcendental nature of the Lord becomes a focus within one's mind. And then one naturally loses one's attraction for mundane material activities. Because transcendence purifies and no longer. It's just like when the sun comes out, the darkness automatically dissipates by the presence of the bright sun. Now when the Krishna sun becomes manifested within the heart of a devotee, then the darkness of material activities just simply go. As when you smash a stick on the ground, the dogs run. If you want to get rid of dogs, just hold the stick up and go, ha! And then they run, right? So we say that to the material energy like that. Ha! Maya goes. I mean, people like dogs in this age, but that's material. It's interesting, you know. It's really amazing. It's just so interesting how this world is arranged. Everything is perfect. The word dog, D-O-G, and God, G-O-D. It's completely the opposite of the letters, right? I mean, it comes from the German, right? It comes from the German language. D-O-G, D-O-G. So the lowest form of worship is dog worship. And the highest form is God worship. Same letters switched around. But people like the dog, you know. Prabhupada said, you know, they take the dog out, and the dog goes this way and that way. They become servant of the dog. He stops to do his business. They stand there very patiently. Haribol. I remember I was in Spain one time and I was talking a little bit. I was giving some dog katha. And I wasn't really glorifying the dog so much. And one lady became really upset with me. Dogs are very nice. They save people's lives. They do so many things. I said, yeah, that's true, but God can save everybody's life. not just one or two. So, you know, the material world, everybody likes these things. So Krishna worship is available. It's amazing what Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas have given us, but it's only Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So if we take it very seriously and purify our hearts, then what is anandam buddhi vardhanam? There's an unlimited ocean of transcendental happiness. That's the nature of transcendence. Transcendence is not limited. No one can put a topper on transcendence. Material things reach a limit, and when they do reach the limit, gradually they start to digress, going backward. But transcendence, anything of the transcendental nature, always increases more and more. So whatever happiness we're experiencing now in Krishna consciousness is just an insignificant drop of what is available. If we focus our heart and mind on hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord and serving the Vaishnavas, again, these are the essence of transcendental pleasure. And serving the Vaishnavas means serving the Vaishnavas for the pleasure of the Vaishnavas. It's not like you serve and therefore you don't care whether they like it or not. It's not like that. No, you have to serve in such a way that it's pleasing to those who are serving like that. Okay, so Sri Ramchandra, he's the expansion. But he's the highest expansion of Krishna. If you were to understand, it's explained that the spiritual world is also described in a somewhat of a linear way, although it's not, but for the sake of understanding, the highest spiritual planet is Goloka Vrindavan. And on Goloka Vrindavan there are two sections, those who worship Radha and Krishna and those who are into Lord Chaitanya. There's those who worship Radha and Krishna as Lord Chaitanya. They go where Lord Chaitanya is. That's also Goloka Vrindavan. They perform the Sankirtan movement constantly. Below that is the Vaikuntha realm, and the highest planet in the Vaikuntha realm is Ramchandra's planet. And below that is Nisringadev, and then below all these other, and those, they're the manifestations of the different incarnations of the Lord, like Kurma, Matsya, Kalki, all the Vishnu expansions, and there's unlimited Vishnu expansions like that. And each one of those planets is self-effulgence and immeasurable by material calculations like that. So these are the highest. So the highest realm within the Vaikuntha realm is Ramchandra's planet, which is called Ayodhya Dham, like that. Lord Shiva also has a planet in the spiritual realm. He's called Sadashiva. There is Shiva and there is Sadashiva. In every universe there is a Shiva, but there is one Shiva who is the source of all the other Shiva. He's called Sadashiva. He came as Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya is a manifestation of Sadashiva, the original Shiva, and Mahavishnu in one form. So he is actually Vishnu Tattva also. So we worship, you know, Advaita as Vishnu Tattva also. Although he played his role as a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, because he wanted to serve the Lord in that mood as a devotee, and still Lord Chaitanya indicated his identity in so many ways. Just like you see that picture on the very end there. That's Advaita Acharya getting the revelation of, what is it, the universal form from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's a very interesting picture, where Lord Chaitanya reveals the universal form to Advaita, because Advaita wanted to see it. He wanted to see it, and the Lord gave him his special mercy. But the Lord didn't like Advaita worshipping him, because the Lord was in the mood of a devotee, and Advaita was Vishnu Tattva. So Lord Chaitanya wanted to worship Advaita, and Advaita wanted to worship Lord Chaitanya. So it became a problem. If you have two people and each want to worship each other, and they don't like the other person worshiping them, it's a transcendental problem. And there's many, many beautiful stories in that connection like that. So he is also, he's Sadashiva also, the original Shiva. So these are the manifestations of the different aspects of the spiritual realm, but the highest is Krishna Loka, or Goloka Vrindavan, like that. And that is only available through the mercy of Mahaprabhu. Only. Because of Mahaprabhu's mercy, he manifests his mercy in the form of Nityananda's mercy. And Nityananda's mercy is embodied within the bona fide spiritual master. The bona fide spiritual master is the manifestation of Nityananda's mercy. Like that. So if we worship our spiritual master by following instructions, and what is the main instruction? When Srila Prabhupada was asked, Srila Prabhupada, what is your most important instruction? He answered, to chant 16 rounds on beads without fail every day. So there it goes, comes back to the essence, chanting Hare Krishna. That's the essence of the essence of the essence. Okay. Any questions? Yes, Himanshu Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you very much for your class. I wanted to just clarify something for my own sake.
Sure.
You were making this point that for those who kind of want God, they want to put God in this kind of a box, then for them the Krishna conception is a little bit difficult to understand.
Impossible.
Impossible to understand. My question is, because I've heard this also, that in the Vaikuntha planets, the worship of God is done in a very reverential way. So there's still a sort of, the intimacy with him doesn't go past a certain point. Whereas in Goloka,
there's actually no intimacy. Gopakumara came to Vaikuntha and met Narayan, he had a loving relationship with Krishna as a cowherd boy. And when he saw Narayan, he wanted to embrace Narayan, because that's what cowherd boys do, they embrace Krishna. But Narayan was also pleased to see his love, but Narayan kind of indicated, you know, you better not, because none of these other residents will understand what's happening here. So, although Gopakumara wanted to embrace Narayan, Narayan is not the form that he was meant to embrace. It was the Krishna form. So there is friendship in Vaikuntha, but the friendship is in a subordinate position. Like that.
My question is, because ultimately it's Krishna's yoga maya potency that's inspiring different types of devotions. So in Goloka she's inspiring a certain kind of devotion. In Vaikuntha, she's inspiring another kind of devotion. So why is Goloka considered higher and the Vaikuntha planet is considered lower? Because in both cases, to me, it seems that the jivas are being influenced by Yogamaya to exhibit a certain
type of element of it's the element of intimacy. There's the added element of what is called madhurya, which is sweetness. In awe and reverence, that sweetness is stunted. The sweetness is the intimacy where Krishna... Cowherd boys, they jump on Krishna's back and say, you know, you're not so great. Why don't you carry me around? Try doing that with Narayan. He's got a club. It's the intimacy. Just like, okay, there's the president. This is Prabhupada's example. So the president, now everyone, the common citizens, when they see him, they say, Mr. President. You know, his ministers there, they also relate to him as Mr. President. Some of his intimate advisors may even call him by his first name because he allows that. But then when he comes home, his kids, you know, they call him Daddy. His wife, she calls him Honey, you know, something like that. There's this sweetness and intimacy, although the president has different relationships with different kinds of people. Still, there's that element of intimacy with a few, which are his close associates or family members. So you can't do that with Narayan. Narayan only allows the awe and reverence level, and that's it. Because there's that mood. But then in Krishna worship, there's that element of sweetness, where the cowherd boys and even the gopis, sometimes, you know, they reject Krishna, they chastise him. Mother Yasoda chases him, she tries to bind him. That's love. And Krishna likes that more than all the prayers of the personified Vedas. He says that. The personified Vedas doesn't move me as much as when Radharani chastises me. So try to understand that. The intimacy of love is the element of sweetness. And that is available only in the aspect of Krishna, not in Narayana. And that's what Lord Chaitanya is offering in his teachings like that. Did you get that?
Yeah, it's becoming a little bit more clear. That makes sense to me that, yes, for Krishna it's more intimate, so it's more pleasing for him. I was just thinking that, you know, maybe for Narayan, this is, because there's a certain rasa, in the president example, there's a certain rasa he enjoys when he's with his
right.
colleagues in the Oval Office.
Yeah,
so
they might tell jokes. They might tell jokes and stuff.
Right, and then then the kid, he's not going to treat his father like the president. So then he needs that aspect. I'm just trying to understand, like that's also an aspect of his personality. So he needs some people to treat him like the president, but then he also wants people to treat him like a father, a friend.
Well, everyone will treat according to the relationship. No one will bridge that their relationship and act in a different way. And that, I mean, in a way, a relationship with Krishna. In the material world, it might happen. You know, and just like Prabhupada says, you know, people try to pry into the loving relationships with Radha and Krishna. They want to find out what's going on between Radha and Krishna. Now, Prabhupada said, just like a person is married and he has a wife, and you go up to him and say, what's it like between you and your wife? He's going to say, it's none of your business. Right? None of your business. But if he has a very, very, very close, intimate friend, he might say something. But for the common people, they should never even ask that question because they don't have that intimate relationship. So therefore, when people try to pry into the higher levels of the intimacy, they either get confused, and then they make their own wrong conclusions like that. And they become offenders, actually. You can't understand the higher realms simply by material consciousness, or even higher, even spiritual consciousness. You have to have intimate spiritual consciousness. You have to have Krishna's special mercy before you can understand the higher levels of rasas like that. And that's something you don't get. It's something you have to qualify yourself to receive. And that's done by your pure bhakti, like that. So, but no one will bridge or go beyond their, you know, particular relationship with Krishna. Everyone is fixed in that way. You understand the element of intimacy? You can see the examples in this world, right? But intimacy is sweetness. Awe and reverence doesn't have much sweetness in it. Haribo. God says, yeah, Haribo. Yeah, we can only approach God. God is the supreme autocrat. He can only be approached when we are humble. But when that humility is being executed in such a way that the love then love overshadows all of the other principles. So even if a person who has love and they don't follow the element of awe and reverence, it doesn't matter because love is higher than awe and reverence. Love will get you, awe and reverence will get you to love. You've got to have awe and reverence before you can approach the level of bhakti or pure love. But once you get there, awe and reverence is just a shadow of that love. Right? Love is intimate. Okay. And to end your discussion, what you see in this world is a perverted reflection of the reality. What you see in this world is a perverted reflection of the reality. Yes.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. And just to add to the point of Narayana and Krishna, Narayana in Bhagavatam 10th canto, it is stated Narayana is the plenary portion of Krishna, and he is originated from Nara. Nara means
man.
Garbhadakasai Vishnu, and his abode is in the water.
Water, yeah.
Yes. And another thing, Krishna is superior to Narayana. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is stated that because Krishna exhibited his super excellence of mellows, transcendental mellows.
All the manifestations of Krishna are equal, but they exhibit different levels of potency.
Yes, that's why, all. Yeah, he is superior.
Ram also has all the potency of Krishna, but he doesn't exhibit it. He just doesn't exhibit it.
And another thing, Maharaj, and to add, that is about to intimacy, that when Lord Nityananda broke the danda, tridanda of Lord Chaitanya, you know, he, because out of intimacy, out of love, then he exceeded all formalities.
Right.
And Lord Chaitanya instructed him not to come to Jagannath Puri, go to Navadvip to preach. Then, but he could not control his affection. He came back to Jagannath Puri to see.
If you study the life of Lord Chaitanya, you'll understand loving relationships between Vaishnavas. It's all there. Mahaprabhu's leelas shows in a very wonderful way the loving relationships between Vaishnavas. Yes, you have a question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Haribo.
How does one
keep the microphone up?
Okay. How does one cultivate humility and service to Vaishnavas?
Humility is a feature of knowledge. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, there's 20 items of knowledge. Anambitam, adambitvam, anavitvam, anadvitam, anambitvam. The first one he mentions is humility. So humility actually falls into the category of knowledge. What is that knowledge? Knowledge of one's position. When you understand your position, humility becomes easy to understand. We're small. The word jiva means tiny. That's what the word actually means. There's Vibhinamsa and, what is it? Swamsa, right? One is great, one is small. Vibhu and Vibhinamsa, yeah. One is great, one is small. So we are small. We're a tiny fraction of spiritual existence. And therefore, because we're so small, Krishna's material energy has a tendency to overcome us. Now, we always say spirit is more powerful than material. But because of the jiva's nature in the material world and activities, a material nature covers the jiva, or the spiritual entity. And therefore, the jiva gets bewildered by its own, by the coverings of the material energy, and starts to think in the wrong way. Just like the greatest form of illusion is to think you're great. Because when you think you're great, you're the greatest fool. You know, your mother has to change your diapers when you're a kid, you know. And you have to cross the street at the green light, not at the red. I mean, the red light, not at the green. You know, you get a cold, you get a toothache, you think you know everything and you fail in your school. You know, you're so much overwhelmed by so many things, and the person thinks, I'm great. That's the greatest form of illusion. So, Krishna's great, and we are small. But we, our smallness becomes great in relationship to service to Krishna. So humility means Krishna is great and I'm nothing. I'm small. That's humility. That's the philosophical principle. Now humility also is characterized by not wanting to become honored by others. This is also the definition. Humility means not wanting the distinction to be honored by others. So, if one wants to be honored by others, that's contrary to the principle of humility. Now, in this material world, when someone does something, they expect some kind of reciprocation. Just like even the greatest philanthropists, if they use their time, energy, and resources to help other people, they expect some kind of reciprocation, like some notoriety, some, you know, distinction, honor, get a plaque, something. But a devotee is simply happy by service and doesn't want anything else. When you only be happy with devotional service, that is a quality of humility. But in this world, people want something from what they do. I do something, I should get something in return, like that. So humility really means not wanting to be honored, not wanting to be recognized, not wanting reciprocation for what you do. Humility is so powerful that the acharyas say, I think it's Jiva Goswami or Rupa Goswami, say that humility is actually bhakti itself. Right? Have you heard that, Jai Jagannath? It's actually, yeah, humility is so powerful that it's actually bhakti. One who's humble is attracted to everyone is attracted to a humble person. Even so, that Krishna's attracted to a humble person. When Krishna sees humility, he's very much attracted to that. So that's how powerful humility is. And humility is not walking around like, I'm humble, I think. I'm sorry. I wanted to be an actor, but I failed. So I joined the Hare Krishna movement. Humility really means to simply understand your position and act accordingly. That's all. If you're not humble, you're not acting in according to your actual position. That's all. Humility is your identity or your nature. That's all. Pride is false. There's a real kind of pride, and that is the pride of the pride that you have in Krishna, that Krishna's great, he's wonderful, that kind of pride. I'm a servant of Krishna's devotees. That is spiritual pride. That's fine. But pride itself is the antidote, or not the antidote, but the opposite of humility. So realize your position as being small and serve Vaishnavas. And then humility becomes more easier. You can tell if you're humble. A humble person is grateful for whatever comes their way. A proud person is never happy. Ah, yeah, you gave me this, but why didn't you give me this? That's pride. A proud person is full of expectations and is never satisfied. A humble person is satisfied with the simplest type of thing.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you.
Please forgive me for any offense if I refer to you as Prabhu on Saturday. I was nervous.
Thanks for remembering me, anyway. Appreciate that. Thank you.
I just had one follow-up on that question. The point of humility, understanding how tiny the jiva is, at the same time, through Krishna's mercy and empowerment, that jiva can perform such miraculous, amazing things. How does the jiva remain humble in spite of being so much empowered?
When you're connected with the power, you become empowered. Humility connects you. The prime example is Srila Prabhupada. Look what he did. But he also spoke very strongly too, but still he understood his position. He acted on behalf of the Supreme, not on behalf of himself. That's the difference. When you act on behalf of yourself, then that's something else. When you act on behalf of the Supreme, that's humility. You can act strongly on behalf of the Supreme too. But then you have to know whether you're acting on behalf of the Supreme or you're acting on behalf of yourself. Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So you made a nice point that humility means to act according to your position. So externally, when we read the Bhagavad Gita, or somebody who doesn't know too much about it, even Arjuna may think, you know, I'm being humble if I don't fight my relatives.
Yeah, he thought like that.
So how can one distinguish humility according to one's position? Because it's not necessarily that he was humble because he wanted desire not to fight. So,
well, first of all, are you referring to yourself in this condition? What's your position?
Arjuna, he thought,
want to talk about Arjuna.
Well, just for example, humility according to your position, you know, some people may think, oh, he wants to fight, he may be proud, or he should be more tolerant, forgiving, cultivate saintly qualities like humility.
Well, Krishna rejected that. Krishna didn't like that. He called him a pundit. Not a pundit, but a pundit. One who is the opposite of a pundit. He called him a fool. Because it was his duty to fight on behalf of religious principles. He was a Kshatriya. Therefore, to not fight was acting on his own interest. He wasn't acting on Krishna's interest. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada commends Arjuna's soft-heartedness, but then later on, he rejects it as being, you know, against religious principles, because this is not what Krishna wants. Whatever Krishna wants, that's the religious principle. In this case, Krishna wanted him to fight. And it was his duty to fight also. So he was rejecting his duty, he was rejecting Krishna. And only when he took the position, what was that verse? Shishyaste ham prabham prabham. Shishyaste sarinam prapannam. Arjuna was discussing a lot of things with Krishna, and then he realized, like, I'm not getting anywhere. So now let me become your disciple. And as soon as he became Krishna's, in the mood of a disciple, the discussion had value. That's the seventh verse in the second chapter. The first chapter is all about Arjuna's arguments. Like that. So Arjuna could not be considered to be acting properly when he rejected Krishna's encouragement to fight. Because it was for himself. Prabhupada says, here, I'll give you an example. You're a soldier, you go to war, and you're killing the enemy, and you come back home, you're a hero, you get all kinds of medals. So then you go home, and then you kill somebody in civilian life, and then you're put in jail, and you're sentenced to death. You say, well, I killed so many persons before, I got so many medals. Well, that was for the state. That was authorized, but now you're acting for yourself, therefore you're punishable. So that's the example of Arjuna. Arjuna, when he wanted to not fight for, you know, his own reasons, he was acting outside of religious principles. So Bhagavad Gita, we might even say Bhagavad Gita is encouraging a peaceful man to fight. And people say, you know, Arjuna didn't want to fight, he was peaceful, and Krishna inspired him. So who's this Krishna, you know? He just wants, therefore your religion is very violent, you know. No. When Krishna explained, that's the whole second chapter, he explains, you know, the difference between material and spiritual. Is that okay? Yeah, thank you. Anything else? You got a question? No? Okay. Derek?
You were talking about the particular mood of sweetness that's exhibited in Vrindavan, and how it's important to have the mood of awe and reverence, how it's important to have the mood of awe and reverence to get to that. So I was wondering, is this mood, is it developed automatically just by serving the Sankirtan movement, or is there a particular practice?
If one follows the instructions of the spiritual master, as one makes advancement, one purifies his consciences, and the spiritual master directs one towards one's eternal relationship with Krishna. That's all done through the relationship of the spiritual master with a disciple, like that. So awe and reverence is natural. Even the great souls who are on the higher platform of, you know, sweetness, they still exhibit awe and reverence in an external way. But in their heart, it's the mood is different like that. Yeah, and so then, as long as we follow the instructions of the spiritual master, the guru, you know, what's the... Mahajano yena katasa panta. By following in the footsteps of great souls, all religious principles are revealed. Yasya devi prabhaktir, yata devi tata guru, tasyaita patite karta prakasanyata mahatmanaha. By one who has complete faith in the instructions of both Krishna and spiritual master, all the imports of all Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. So when one follows the instructions of the spiritual master as their life and soul, then the spiritual master takes them to higher and higher levels of bhakti. So we have, that's where you start, like that. Now, there's something else. As you make advancement, a certain inclination to serve Krishna in a certain way may start to appear within your own mind and heart. It may come out as service, but it also may come out as a mood of love. So when that mood starts to develop, one is inclined to worship Krishna in that way. And that is facilitated by following in the footsteps of an eternal resident of the spiritual world. So one may adopt a particular resident that they they like, and then they read about that person, they hear about them, they glorify their activities like that. They don't imitate them. They follow in their mood of, they worship their mood of service like that. So that comes on a certain stage of practice of bhakti also. Okay. Chandra, is he here? No, he left. He had a question. Okay, is that it? Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Prema Nandi Hari Hari Bol.